In you, O God, is the fountain of life. In your light, we shall see light.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. We are introducing a very important matter and an important aspect of the scriptures. And I would want us to be focused and to pay much attention to the things that we will be sharing. We are carefully looking into the book of John, or the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John is a simple but profound book. It is, to me, the most profound book in the entire Bible. And I'm saying this without missing words. I'm saying this without coming back some years after to regret what I've said. It's a book that reveals so much verity, so much reality, and makes the rich and the divine things very edible. Hallelujah. So we are going to journey through the book of John within this period. And most of our meetings are going to be discussions from this book. This book was written around AD 80 to AD 100. And the focus of this book reveals an aspect of the author who was inspired with this divine truth. You know, it reveals the kind of mentality, mindset, and the confrontations and the issues that surrounded him. And as Brother Witness Lee would say, that Apostle John's ministry is a mending ministry. And I believe it's so true, because he had to correct a lot of misconceptions in his time. He had to deal with a lot of mentality, a lot of inconsistency, a lot of opposition. Much theologies or doctrines, if you say doctrines, we are talking about teaching. So much doctrines which are mostly antichrist had to deal with a lot of heresies and all that. And this gospel is not, you know, without that intention. It has that intention beneath its writings. But then it is a very simple book. And John was graced with much insight. When you read the book of John 1, he says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, when you read John 1, verse 1, the beginning that says, in the beginning was the Word, it reveals the extent of vision, the extent of insight or revelation that this man of God received. Brother Johnny, or the Apostle John, received the revelation of God even unto eternal, you see, farther back eternity, you see, and also, he received much insight into farther into eternity. You see, he received much insight pertaining to Christ and his revelation, who he is, all the way to eternal past, unto eternal future. Now, when I say eternal past and eternal future, it doesn't necessarily mean that eternity has past, present, and future. But then what it means is that, now, when it comes to eternity, eternity is not basically past, present, future. Eternity is, all right? There is no past in eternity. There is no present in eternity. There is no future in eternity. However, when I say eternal past, because of time, because we are within time, to make us understand what we are talking about here, we are looking at eternal past, all right? So we can say that he received much revelation farther back eternity, all right, and received also much insight and revelations on further on eternity. You see, so most of the eternal matters that are behind us, all right, who are in time, were dispensed unto him. Now, the scriptures point to life and its living. Now, the living of life is what is called the building of life. So it is life and building. What the scriptures does is that the scriptures carries in itself life. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. You see? So the word of God, the revelation of God, the truth of God is spirit and it is life. And this spirit and life, when it enters us, it builds us up. Apostle Paul said, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. So the realities of God, the truth of God, when it enters us, what it does is that it builds us up.
So the word of God is for our building. But that word in itself is life. So it's a life that enters us and builds us up. So when you study the book of Ephesians, you say that you were once dead. You once who were dead in trespasses, has he now quickened and made alive. So we've been made alive together with Christ. So by grace we are saved. And he went on further to speak of we being God's building. We being knitted together to be God's eternal habitation. All right? So you see that the whole issue is not just about God giving you life and you making it to heaven. No, I always say this. The destination of the new creation or the destination of man is not heaven. The destination of man is God himself, is Christ. Man comes into Christ and grows into Christ to become Christ in all expressions. And the core of all that God is doing is that he will gather all things together, one into himself. That's the program of God. And so, Brother John, the apostle, begins to reveal that aspect, that part of God's work, reveal God as life unto us. He pointed out God as life. And you know what? He pointed also out this amazing reality about our Lord Jesus, that he is not just a master. He is not just a rabbi. He is not just a teacher, but he is God himself. So he revealed the divine aspect of Jesus. The divine aspect of Jesus. So you would see in the book of John, he began to reveal that divine aspect, and he shows how God was made flesh, how God became the God-man. All right, he became the God-man and walked upon this earth, the incarnation of Jesus. But he pointed back to ancient time, the ages-long time of Jesus, the eternal dimension of Jesus. He didn't just reveal him as man, as you could see in the book of Luke. All right, he revealed him as God. Jesus was seen and beheld as God. And then when you look at the other epistles of John, you look at 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, the focus of these epistles of John is to reveal Jesus as our enjoyment, as the life for our living. And then in Revelation, he reveals him as the life who is the consummation of all things. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This book is not just about a chronological discussion. No, it transcends chronology. It is a book that points to the core of divinity. And so we could say that it's a topical book. So every chapter has a way of standing on its own, though they are all related. And they were not written in chapters. But it was not just having a chronological discourse. The focus of the discussion is to reveal God himself unto us. And it's to make us see Jesus in his divine capacity. And so it's a book that surrounds seven I Ams and surrounds seven miracles. You see, there are seven core miracles in this book. And also, it reveals the seven I Ams of Jesus. We're going to look at that throughout this discussion. And I tell you, it's going to be so exciting as we discuss this book of John. Another interesting thing you need to know is that in John 1 verse 1, we'll look at that briefly, but I just want to point that out so that when I start running, I'm running all the way through. In John 1, from the first five verses, and I told you the first five verses are the most profound verses in the entirety of the scriptures. The first five verses reveals God as life. But there was something so interesting that in the latter part of these verses, it reveals. It reveals God expressing himself through man in the subsequent verses that we'll look at very soon. And also reveals how God dealt with the challenge of man, terminated sin, so that there will be the germination of life. But in the verse 42, there's something interesting. I'm not ready to wait till we get to that matter before we reveal this amazing truth. But I want to point out this to you. You would see that in the verse 42, Jesus, when Andrew brought Simon to Jesus, do you know something interesting that happened? Jesus did not see Simon just as Simon. He gave a name to Simon. He changed Simon's name to Cephas, which means stone. Wow, can you see this amazing matter? It speaks of the building, you see? And here he's pointing to, when you come into life, life transforms you onto a precious living stone. He called him a stone, but this is a person who is an organism. But yet, he's seen as a stone, you see? And this is what happens to you. When you come to the experience of the divine life, what happens to you is that you transcend from just being a human, just being a dust, into becoming a lively stone, onto becoming a precious stone, as it is revealed in 1 Peter 2, where we are made precious stones. So he revealed Peter transformed Peter just from being a Simon to Cephas, which means stone. That shows what happens when you come into Christ and his life enters you. You become a precious stone. And this is it. You becoming a lively precious stone is so that you'll be useful in the building of God's eternal habitation. Remember, it is in this same book that God goes further to talk on matters pertaining to we becoming one with him, coming into fellowship with him, where he spoke of we, you know, he said in his father's house, there are many mansions there. If it was not so, he would have told us. Later, we'll talk about this as we are talking about this book, all right? It is in this same book that he spoke of we, you abiding in me and I in you. You see, so in this same book, he spoke of the father coming to make his headquarters, the Godhead coming to make their headquarters in man. In his same book, he spoke of he being the vine and we being the branches. So it also speaks of fellowship, organic union. But in this organic union, listen to me, we are also made lively stones so that we will be precious stones that will be knitted into God's habitation, which is the eternal building of God. I'm trying not to move so much ahead of myself. We are following steadily. I just want to give you an overview, okay? An overview of this whole matters we are looking into. So all the things we are basically going to discuss are matters pertaining to two major items, life and building. And that's what all the entirety of the scriptures point to. Life and building. It's about life and an expression. You see, becoming alive and becoming the habitation of the divine life and being the very expression of that divine life. Hallelujah. You see? So you also see this amazing, beautiful matter in the verse 51 of the same chapter where he spoke to Nathanael. And Jesus said to Nathanael that, for you shall see the angels ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Boy, you see, this is amazing. I feel like shouting and jumping and rolling all around here. You know what he was pointing to? What does it remind you? It should remind you of the dream that Jacob had. When Jacob had a dream, and in his dream, he saw the heavens open and angels descending and ascending. And when Jacob woke up, he said, he has found the Lord. The Lord is here. And he named that place. You know, he slept on a rock, which was as a pillow. And later, he erected that rock and poured oil on it and named that place the house of the Lord. He named that place Bethel. Bethel, Bethel means house of God. He named that place house of God. You know what Jesus was announcing? Jesus was saying to Nathanael, he said, for I shall be seen as the location of God on earth. I shall be seen as the address of God. Meaning that Jesus was not just a bridge between humanity and divinity. Jesus, listen to me, mingled divinity and humanity together. And that's what this book is really pointing out to. Pointing us to the mingling of God and man. God entering man. And man entering God. So in Genesis 1 verse 26, we see man being created in the image of God. Now if you have followed the online ministry school, explain that for man to be made in the image of God, it does not mean that man is the image of God. The scripture says that Christ is the express image of the Father. So man was made in the image of God, meaning the man was made so that he will have the capacity to contain God. Make sure you sign up to the online ministry school so you grasp this matter, all right? So you would see that man was made in God's image in Genesis. But that image is Christ himself, meaning Christ is the raw material by which man was made. Now remember, if you are talking about man, we are not talking about the outward parts of man. We are talking about the hidden part of man. And that hidden part of man is spiritual. And that spiritual element was made out of God. Remember, that spiritual element is a container. It is made to contain God. It is made to carry a specific content, which is divinity. It's for there is this treasure in an earthen vessel. So there is an earthen vessel and there is a treasure within the earthen vessel. So man is a vessel to contain God, who is the treasure. And that original image of God is Christ, who is to indwell that container which was made in that image. It means it was made to have the capacity to contain the very image of God. And so you see in Genesis 1:26, man was made in God's image. But in John, God reveals God's image entering into man. He reveals the very image of God becoming man. It's revealing an amazing reality here, pointing us to God's original program.
Let me just quickly jump the rope and just let you understand this. Listen to me. God's original program in all eternity is to achieve this one thing, oneness. And if we will all come to understand this matter of oneness that God wants to achieve, beloved, we're going to end all this unnecessary argument, trying to be something so special, trying to be above the other, trying to prove this person wrong, trying to come out with your own concept of living, your own concept of faith. No, all of it is all the things we are doing, all the discussions, all the lives you are winning, all the discipleship, everything happening is to achieve this single purpose, oneness of God. God becoming one with us. And all things being filled by God and being gathered by God together unto himself. We are on a journey. So through this, we get to understand the language of John. And as you get to understand the language of John, then gradually you begin to understand even certain expressions in the book of Revelation. All right? And I know in the month of July, they're going to have a crystallization conference where we make certain books like the book of Revelation more edible unto us. So we are on a long journey in demystifying the deep things of God or the amazing realities of God, which has been communicated in an edible form, which men has overlooked. We make it more practical and more experiential for your living. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So number one thing you need to take note of is that the book of John is a book that points out to life. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. I'm a student of the word. Quickly, let's go to John 1. John, the chapter 1. Makashada babratus. Rekon jabra teke te pratus sabai. Ivoga son de gratis ta pradoshe. Oh, thank you, sweet Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. John 1, I read quickly to you from the verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is beautiful. Now, let's not rush things. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? First, look at this matter. Beginning. What does it mean by beginning? What is he talking about? Is he talking about the book of Genesis? No. Genesis also speaks of, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But the beginning in Genesis points to the beginning in time. But in John 1, he's pointing to the reality of things in eternals. Now, in 1 John 1, you see, from the beginning. Now, when he's speaking from the beginning, he's also speaking from the beginning of time. You see, that which has been from the beginning. But in this gospel, he's practically pointing out to before time began. Before time began. All right. So, in the beginning, he said, was the Word. You see, and he's saying that the Word was with God. It's amazing how this matter seems to be a hard matter for people to easily grasp. So John was focusing more on this matter of life, was focusing more on this matter of the divine life entering us and becoming our very expression. He spoke more of Jesus being God and indwelling man. So remember, I said that it is not just about we becoming good people. It is more about we becoming the God-man. So God wanted man to be a God-man. He wanted to be a man carrying God. And Jesus came to be that very expression of the God life. God and man became one in Jesus. Remember, it is impossible for anyone to apprehend this matter that God can be in time. It is through this reality where God entered time through that incarnation where the Spirit of God overshadowed the womb of Mary and now God became flesh. You see? And when God became flesh, he said his name shall be called Jesus. So Jesus is God made flesh. But this is what you need to understand. God is the very essence of man. God is the very essence of Jesus. Is the intrinsic reality of Jesus. The essence of a thing is what that matter is. The essence of a matter is what that matter is. So if Jesus essentially is God, then it means Jesus is God. And so the argument of John is that he wants all to come to that full realization of the divine person who is Jesus. Come to the full realization that God became man. Full realization that the man Jesus is God himself. He is God himself who tabernacled among us. And I said that the first five verses of the book of John are the most profound verses in the entirety of scripture. In the entirety of scriptures, the first five verses of that book are the most profound reality because they revealed an amazing aspect of God that no book has ever revealed. The extent of God. God in his eternal past revealed Jesus in Father back eternity. So I was explaining that in all that revelation, he made all this revelation edible by pointing out how Jesus is life. How the word became life that we can enjoy. It doesn't mean that the word is not life. The word is life. But now that life became a matter that we can carry into us. And the moment life enters you, or the moment you begin to have an experience with life, there is transformation that takes place. And what happens is that you are transformed into becoming God's building because life indwells you. And that life is God himself. That means that you become the habitation of life. It means you are the habitation of God. It means that as an individual, you have become God's building. And I said that as a born again, or when you become a participator, or you become one that shares in the divine life, what happens to you is that you are transformed into a precious stone, as revealed in 1 Peter 2. And Jesus pointed this matter out in John 1:42. All right? When Andrew brought his brother Simon to Jesus. Jesus, who is life. When Simon experienced this life, look at what happened to Simon. Jesus said, your name is no longer Simon. He said, now your name is Cephas. So Jesus changed his name from Simon to Cephas, meaning, and Cephas means stone. So this individual man who encountered life, who came to the experience of life, became a lively stone. And Peter, who became a precious stone, take note, is a man, is a being. That means he's an organic matter. And this organic matter was now called stone. Why did Jesus call him stone? He's prophesying, he's speaking of a matter concerning all men. That all men that experience him become precious stones who are knitted together to form an eternal habitation. So every new creation, every born again that receives the life of God individually, you become God's habitation. And corporately, you are seen as a precious stone that fits into that corporate building. So I'm a precious stone, you're a precious stone, that brother is a precious stone, another brother is a precious stone. And we are all knitted together to become God's eternal habitation. Let me help you understand it better. As a precious stone, you form part of all other stones, which means that you are joined together to other stones to become God's eternal building. What God wants to achieve in the consummation of all things is that he wants to have a building that he indwells on everlasting. And so he entered time to gain men, that men will become precious stones that will form part of his eternal building. So if you are talking about the New Jerusalem, as I keep saying, is not an isolated city from God. No, the New Jerusalem is a corporate being. It's the knitted people, knitted saints, whom God has indwelled. And that's what Apostle Johnny was doing in his book. And as much as was dealing with heresies, he was dealing with wrong perception of Jesus, he was dealing with the doubts, people that have doubts the divine Jesus. In as much he was dealing with all this matter in his discussion, you see, he included God's eternal program in his discussion, where he revealed God in Christ and revealed Christ as God and revealed Christ as life, who will indwell man as life. And so it's in this same John that Jesus was revealed as life. In this same John chapter 10, Jesus revealed his eternal purpose, which is to give life abundantly to all men. So you see, Jesus now revealed that purpose of his coming in time, as God entering time, as one who is dispensing life. And I'm saying that when this life enters you, it transforms you to become a precious stone. Now individually, you become God's habitation. Corporately, you become a precious stone for God's work. You see, and so when God told Peter, I have to choose God so that you get to understand what we are talking about here. When God told Peter that now you are a stone, he said that you have become an individual for God's eternal work. And God's eternal work is that he will have an eternal habitation. And I said, all that God wants to achieve is that all things becomes one in him. He fills up all things with himself, and all things are gathered together unto him, because all things possess him.
Glory to God.
And I said that the many things we are doing, all the work, all that we are doing, we are trying to achieve something in Christ, achieve some purpose, laboring, some are competing with each other. Listen to me. The goal is that all things becomes one in Christ. The goal is that all things will be gathered together as one in Christ Jesus. That is God's motive. That is God's goal. That is God's work. You will see in verse 51 of the same chapter 1, where Jesus spoke to Nathanael, and Jesus said, oh, you shall see upon the Son of Man angels descending and ascending. Now, they that understand the ancient language will come to understand that Jesus was speaking of a certain matter. He was speaking of himself as the very address of God. How do I know that? In Genesis, when Jacob fled from his brother, and now Jacob was alone, okay, and he had a dream. In the dream that Jacob had, he saw the heavens open, and he saw angels descending and ascending upon a ladder. When Jacob woke up, he said, this place is the house of God. You know what he did? He picked up the stone which he laid his head on, which he used as a pillow. He picked that stone, and there's an amazing reality about that. He picked that stone, and he erected that stone, and poured an oil on it, and he called that place Bethel. Bethel. Bethel means the house of God, which means this place is the location of God. And Jesus now was saying to Nathanael in John 1:51, he said that, look, if you are looking for the location of God now, it is not at Bethel. The location of God now is me. I am the very location of God. All I shall see, angels descending and ascending upon the Son of Man. And what was declaring is that the Son of Man is the very location, the very current address of God. Meaning that God, in his full capacity, manifested in the flesh, called Jesus. It means that Jesus is God appearing in the flesh. It means Jesus is God being substantiated. He is God living among us. This is an amazing reality. Hallelujah. Amazing truth. And that's what Jesus was saying to Nathanael. I'm God's location. That means that anyone that receives him becomes the very location of God. You become God's location, God's address, God's dwelling place. And you are also God's habitation. And that is individually. And then corporately, you are God's precious stone. So all the discussion in the book of John is a matter of life and building of God's eternal habitation. When I say building, I'm also talking about expression. So it's a matter of life and the expression of life. That's what the book of John is all about. And it's a simple book where deep things of God are articulated in a simple form, made edible for us. So you see in John 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning. Now remember, this beginning, he's not speaking concerning Genesis 1. Genesis 1, the beginning in Genesis 1 has to do with the beginning of time. And then when you go to 1 John 1, he said that which is from beginning. It speaks of the beginning of time, the beginning of manifestation. All right? That one also is not speaking of the eternal past, of farther back eternity. Are you with me? So in John 1, the apostle now carries us back beyond time. And John 1 fills the gap that exists between Genesis and Revelation. Now, when I say it fills the gap, it's not like it is just the bridge. It completes the realities of God declared in Genesis all through to Revelation. It makes the revelation of God, you see, it gives sense. You see, the revelation of God becomes meaningful to us. We see the sense in the deep things of God. The mystic union, the mystic matters of God are now demystified in the book of John. So he said, in the beginning, before time, that is when God was alone in himself, there was the Word. He said, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, here, he's not speaking of different kinds of gods. He's not speaking of the many aspects of God. He's still pointing to the matter that God is one, but he has different persons. These persons are three. And you need to go through the online ministry school to grasp this discussion, because there is a full practical teaching on this matter. All right? You would see it in there. Thank you, Lord. So there's it. God is one. God is not three. Neither is God two. God is not the Word and the Father. The Word is God. Now, it is not like the Word is a subsidiary of God. The Word is fully God. Inseparable. When you read further, you will see that the Word became flesh. And the Word dwelt among us. That speaks of the incarnation of Jesus. That speaks of Jesus or God entering time. And in this part, he's not also diminishing the quality of Jesus. He said he did not count it as robbery to be equal with God. He is God in the capacity of God. And that's why in this book, he was revealed much as the Son of God, pointing out the quality that he is God himself. Now, remember, I said sonship is for expression. So in this book, if Jesus is referred to as the Son of God, what has been pointed out is that it means he's the expression of God. It means to see God is to see him. It means without him, you can't see God. He is God in sight. He is the very image of God. He is God seen. He is God revealed. He is God touched. He is God substantiated. I heard someone say that Jesus being the word of God does not mean that he is God. What it means is that he is the message of God. He is the message, and the message is God himself. You would see that the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 9:6 prophesied concerning Jesus. He said, the child shall be called Pele Yehuah Zelgibor Abiatzah Shalom. He said, the child shall be called Wonderful Counselor. All right? The Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Can you see this? A child called Wonderful Counselor. This same child is called Mighty God. Listen, he's not saying that this child is a mighty man. He says he's a mighty God. Then he said, this child is Everlasting Father. So the word is God himself. God himself revealed. God himself manifested. God himself expressed. So in the beginning was the word. Now, what is the word? When we talk about the word, we are not talking nearly about some people say, if you say in the beginning was the word, you're talking about the logos. And he said, logos is the written word. It's an error. When you say logos is the written word. Logos is not just the written word. Logos means the expression of thought. So when he says in the beginning was the word, it means in the beginning was the very expression of God. So you see, the expression of God did not just happen after God has thought through that, oh, man is not able to apprehend me. Let me now express myself. No, there has always been the very expression of God. And that expression is called the image. He said in Hebrews, he said, for he is the very express image of God, the express image of his person. So right from the beginning, God always had in himself his own expression. And that expression is God himself. So the apostle is showing us the situation in God. Before all things were created, there was a situation in God. And that situation reveals that God was himself a community. He had his life and he has his expression. So when we are to become the very expression of God, it doesn't mean that it is now that God found how to express himself. No, God knew how to express himself. And the quality to express himself has been in himself, which is himself, and is the word. So before the beginnings was the word was with God. And he said, and this word, he is God himself, inseparable. This is it. Like you go out there to town to buy a watermelon, all right? What God wants is that God wants to be contacted by man. And wants to be enjoyed by man. He wants man to digest him into himself. God wants to indwell man. God wants to be part of man. God wants to be eaten by man so that he will indwell man and become the very essence of man. So in the same way, watermelon is to be eaten. It's made edible to be eaten, to be enjoyed. It has nutrients for man to be nourished. But listen, you cannot just carry watermelon and throw it into your mouth. Have you seen anyone, carrying watermelon? If you see such a man, Balego Zaga. So how is watermelon able to get into your tissues? It's not by you swallowing it. It's first of all, you slice watermelon. You see, when you slice watermelon, it does not change what has been sliced. You see, it does not change what it is. It does not change it from it being a different fruit. It is still watermelon, but it is sliced at this time. Then you begin to eat it by chewing and squeezing the juice out of it. For the juice to get into you. Now, when you chew and you squeeze the juice out of the melon, listen, what has happened is not something different. It is the same matter, which is watermelon, that has now been juiced into you. I hope you are getting it. So now, you will see that the watermelon is no longer there. Where has it gone to? It didn't vanish. You didn't just swallow it. You sliced it and you ate it. Then now it got into your system. But each part of it does not say that it is not watermelon. It is still watermelon. When it was a full melon, it was still melon. When you sliced it, it was sliced melon, but it was still melon. When you juiced it or when you ate and chewed and squeezed the juice out of it, it was still watermelon, which you have ate and squeezed.
So you are not going to say that, oh, I'm eating something. What is it? It is something that I ate. No, you knew what you ate. When you ask, where is the watermelon? You say, oh, I've eaten it. It means it has become part of you. That's a matter about the Godhead. You see, God himself as God, who is the Father, he is God himself. But this God himself can be sliced, can be made edible, portable to be eaten. And that is the word. Until God manifest himself or manifested as the word, no man was able to assimilate him. When he became the word, then we were able to now assimilate that word. It was able to gain entrance into us, not by the black and white ink that you read. It is by the spirit. So he said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirits and they are life. And you see, the spirit is not different from the word. Listen to me. Get this clear. You see that Jesus, who is the Lord, is also called the spirit. He's called the life-giving spirit. He said, the Lord, who is the spirit? He said, wherever the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So the word, he is both the Father and is both a spirit. Yet they are three persons, and still they are one. We are not speaking of three different kinds of gods or three gods. No, the same God, one God, are three persons. Like how you have a melon. Melon has three aspects. It's a melon, sliced, and now you juiced. Hallelujah. I believe you are learning. So in the beginning was the word. The word is the logos. Logos means the very expression of thought. So in the beginning was the very expression of God, the expression of his thought. And this expression is God himself. Then he went on verse 2, he says, he was in the beginning with God. Now, when he chose in the beginning with God, listen, he's not speaking of two things put together. He's speaking of a union, a mystical union. He's not saying, and he was joined to God. He said he was with God, meaning he was mingled, inseparable. Just as now, when you become born again, your spirit is mingled with the spirit of God. But in this matter, it transcends what happened. Here, it is not two elements put together. It is one element forged out of itself. So he was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. He said, all things, can you see this, were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. All things. So he's revealing the divine element of Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Can you see this? These are my favorite verses. And the light shines in darkness, and darkness did not comprehend it. Can you see the build up? All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. It means he had in himself the creative ability. He was himself a creative force. Nothing was made without him. He said, in him was life. And the life was the light of man. Oh, shaka praya. Let's pray in tongues for a moment. Lekata brada bababa sonta kapa la la ba 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 ba. Lakatos koprata balalala bahaya. Regada gada baha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In him was life. This life is the light of man. So the light that illuminates hearts is life. So you see, now he's revealing God, not just an entity that wants to be away from you. He's bringing him closer to you now. But the only way he can bring God close to us is through the word. So he's talking about Jesus, and he's trying to point out a matter that God now wants to indwell us. God wants to become the content of man so that we will be his expression. But first, that's to focus on the matter as to how God indwelt us. So it's not just about the matter of defending the argument that Jesus is God, but also the matter of demystifying how God indwelt man. Because if we don't come to a place to see Jesus as God, then we will not come to see that the life that Jesus dispensed into us is God himself that entered us. Because John, he again revealed, 1 John 5, verse 11. Look at this. And this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life. Are you following? This is the testimony that God, he has given us eternal life. See, until you come to see Jesus as God, until you come to that place to understand that the word is God, you must be fully convicted. And until you come to see the purpose of John revealing the word as God, you will not come to appreciate the fact that he God, dispensed life into us as himself. So he said, this is the testimony that God has given us eternal life.
Oh, glory to God.
And this life is in the Son. Can you see that? Look at verse 12. He said, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So to have the Son of God means that you have God expressed. If you have God expressed, he's saying you have God himself. You have God himself. Now God himself lives in you by receiving Christ. He wants us to understand that he is fully God who has become our life and who has indwelt us. Hallelujah. This life is our reality. This life is our shining. In him was life, and the life is the light of men. Glory to God.
We're going to continue the discussion again. There are many things we're going to reveal to you, and your joy should be that the life is in you.
Hallelujah.
The life is in you. You carry life. You carry life. We are going to enjoy amazing truth, because this book is a book that reveals the seven I ams, surrounds the seven I ams and the seven miracles. We're going to look more at the seven I ams and the seven miracles. We are trying to introduce ourselves to the deep things that spangs in this book. And by the time we are done, you enjoy every single element in the book of John. It's a precious book, right? It's a precious book. You know this amazing thing that when you study Numbers 20, right? When you study Numbers 20, you would see a rock that was smitten. See, the smitten raven. And when Moses smit the rock, the Bible says, waters, all right, gushed forth out of this rock. And these waters are the waters that Apostle Paul calls it the living water in Corinthians 10. Calls it a living water. And he said, it's this living water that follows us to this day, right? And when you go to 21 of Numbers, you see that they dug a well. And when that well was dug, they contacted rich waters. And that reveals two aspects of Christ, which also is revealed in this book. You see, that Jesus on the cross was smitten. You see, he was smitten on the cross that his life will be dispensed as a living water into us. And that life which was dispensed as a living water into us became a present well within us. So if you become born again, see, Jesus, he finished his work as a smitten rock. And now, his life has been dispensed into us as a living water and has become a well within us. As he said, out of my belly shall flow rivers of living waters. He spoke of himself also as a well. He said, there is a water he dispenses in John 4. He said, anyone that partakes of this water shall never go thirsty. It means you have an eternal well within you. Religion will give you a well outside you, as Jacob dabbed. But when it comes to have fellowship with Christ, who is our life, the eternal well is placed inside of you, where you have rich waters to nourish and satisfy many. All you've got to do is to dig deeper within you to access that living water. Now that's the work we are doing. We are digging deeper every day. We are digging out every distraction. We are digging out all veils so that we access the living wells, which is now our content within us. And it will gush forth to be a blessing to all the nations. So as you're in this meeting with us, as you're always meeting, we are meeting right here online. Don't think we are joking. We are digging deeper into us to assess the rich nourishment of Christ within us as the eternal well. It will be a satisfaction unto many. I pray for you. You are getting deeper into God and coming to a place where you understand the deep things of God. You will not walk in ignorance of what you carry. You carry the life of God. You carry God as life. You are a God man released into this world with a divine life in you, that many will be satisfied with the divine life. And we also will say, as Jesus said, I am come that you have life and have it more abundantly. We'll say to the nations, we have come that they will have life and have it more abundantly. Many lives are depending on the wells of God within your spirit, that they will have an eternal waters within them, that they will never go thirsty as the woman of Samaria, of the living springs. She went forth to declare Jesus as the Lord. The more many come to enjoy the living waters within us, the more they go out there to celebrate the Lord through us. And as we fellowship through this book, our eyes will be open to the eternal life and the living waters within us that makes us the eternal habitation, that makes us eternal satisfaction, even unto generations yet unborn. Shalom Eleishem. You are a great blessing. I love you so much. Glory to God.
Shalom. Thank you for listening to Light of Life with Pastor Benny. We hope you were blessed. Join us for our midweek service on Wednesday at 6 p.m. and on Sunday at 8:30 a.m. on the second floor of Bintu Complex near Kwashiman. Let's get interactive. Follow us on social media at Christ Commonwealth-Community. Glory to God.